questions, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Welcome to Healing the Grieving Heart with your host, the mother-daughter team of Dr. Gloria Horsley and Dr. Heidi Horsley. Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi have devoted their lives to helping individuals move forward after a profound loss and each week share stories of hope and understanding. They dedicate their show to their son and brother Scott and to others who have lost loved ones. Now join Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi and share the journey from grief and loss to hope and renewal.
Hello, I'm Dr. Gloria Horsley with my co-host,
Dr. Heidi Horsley.
Each week, Heidi and I welcome you to Healing the Grieving Heart, a show of hope and conversation with those who suffered the loss of a loved one and for healthcare professionals who work in this most difficult field. As always, the message is others have been there before you and made it. You can too. You need not walk alone. This show is pre-recorded, so you will not be able to call in. But these shows are all archived on our blog, thegriefblog.com, as well as the CompassionateFriends.org websites. All the shows can be downloaded on iTunes, and the transcripts are accessible on thegriefblog.com. Well, good morning, Heidi.
Good morning, Mom.
Gosh, it's been quite a holiday season, hasn't it?
It has.
Really busy, lots of exciting things going on. I know for our audience, it's been tough for a lot of them. They've made it through Christmas now, maybe the first Christmas. Really rough, huh, Heidi?
Absolutely. Holidays can be very, very tough and very emotional.
Do you remember our first year? I hardly remember it, when Scott died in 1983.
Yeah, you know, you were asking me about that earlier, and it was a complete fog. I think the whole first year after his death was just a blur and a fog, and I just was in shock. I don't remember it. I really don't. I remember very few things about it. I remember bringing his photographs down into the living room with us while we were opening presents, and that was a good reminder for me because we didn't really have to say anything, but he was a presence there with his photos.
You know, I remember that first year. It was 8 months for us. Scott died in April, so I think that'd be about 8 months. In our first year, I was in terrible shock, and Heidi and Rebecca were home from college, and Heather was 14 there. And, I just remember that I felt like I was kind of in the field of grief and loss, and I felt like we should have stayed home that year and kind of done what we did. So I hardly remember it either. It was just getting through. I'm sure we must have had friends come over. I barely remember anything.
I don't remember anything either. I just remember that every time I went into the house, I expected Scott to be there. And it was almost like an overwhelming feeling of emotion when he wasn't there. Even though I knew he was dead, I still expected him to be there.
Yeah, well, I just want to talk a little bit to our audience. You know, for that first year, wow, I really give you credit for getting through. And the second year is rough because, you know, this is what it's going to be like. I remember our second year, we took a trip to Hawaii with my mother. Do you remember that, Hyde?
That was a good thing, I thought, because I could just, it diverted me from what was going on, and we could just enjoy Hawaii, and we went to Disneyland, and we just did something completely different the second year, which was good. I liked that.
And Scott had never been to Hawaii there with us, so we weren't doing that yearning and searching that you do in that early time where you're looking for them all the time. Really difficult. Well, Heidi, I wanted to say a little bit about, we know it's difficult for you, the anticipation of the holidays. We hope that, you know, you pass Christmas, or if you celebrate Christmas, and now you're on...
Or Hanukkah.
Yeah, or Hanukkah, and now you're on to getting ready for the new year. And we just hope that you don't feel too much pressure to celebrate this event in a certain way that you always have, because this is the year not to do that, wouldn't you say, Heidi?
Absolutely, but I also think that while you shouldn't put a lot of pressure on yourself, as for the parents that are listening out there, there is a certain amount of faking it that you have to do the first year. In other words, your kids still want to do the Hanukkah rituals and the Christmas rituals and have a really fun, positive experience during the holidays. So there's a certain amount of things that parents have to do, like just fake it if it's painful for the sake of their kids.
And I think you can have your family members help you out, you know, bring the food or, you know, let them know that you need some help this year. You know, because the aunts and uncles and other folks can be up a little bit more for your kids than maybe you can.
Absolutely. And obviously you're going to feel sad during the day, and that's okay at times. I remember my parents feeling at times overwhelmed and getting teary-eyed, but make sure that it's not the entire day.
Mm-hmm. And also, you know, you've got New Year's coming up, And again, you don't have to celebrate it the way you used to, but your kids might, you know, your kids might want to get out there. If you've got teenagers, they've got that New Year's fun going on, right, Hyde?
Yeah, I mean, kids love to watch the New Year come in and kind of watch the ball drop and, you know, do that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah, well, I think one of the important things for you this New Year is maybe plan a little something like lighting a candle or something for your child or doing something a little special for them. And that way that you can kind of compartmentalize for the family. You could do some little rituals, like you may want to visit the cemetery, depending on, for those that are in cold countries, it's kind of hard. I remember trying to find Scott's grave in the winter. It was a hard thing to do. So you may want to do that or you may not.
I think that would be a great idea, but I would say on Christmas Day.
Well, Christmas Day is past.
Don't visit the cemetery. Right. Oh, we're past
New Year's.
That, right. So since we're past, oh, you're saying on New Year's Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that would be a great idea on New Year's Day.
Yeah, might want to do that. Or you might want to identify a new place with the family for the new year that could serve as a new memorial site.
Like you said, Mom, rituals are great. Candle lightings are great. Anything that symbolizes that even though our loved ones aren't here, they're still with us in our memories.
Yeah, you also might want to try a new tradition, a traditional activity starting the new year, or maybe write a letter or an essay about a favorite thing or the day or the person that made that occasion special, you know, for your loved one. You may make their favorite food.
Yeah, I like that. I was going to think, when you said that earlier, I was thinking, you know, what you could do is ask everyone in the family to name one thing that they want you to make. So everyone has a favorite food, and then the person that died, you make their favorite dish also.
Mm-hmm. Or have people bring their favorite food.
Right.
So you don't have to make
it. That's a good idea.
Yeah. So you might want to think about scrapbooks and stories and drawings, photos, all those kinds of things that you might want to bring together on New Year's Day. And I would compartmentalize it, though, because it's hard for families. Say we're going to spend this, bring these photos, we're going to spend this X amount of time looking at photos, and then we're going to have dinner or whatever, and put them away so that you can do other things.
I remember one thing we did which I really enjoyed, and that was that we each said, we've done this a lot, actually, we all talk about one positive or funny memory we have of Scott.
Mm-hmm.
And kids love to talk about positive, funny things. So it's a happy event. You can get sad while you're talking about it, but each person would do that, and that was a really, I liked doing that a lot.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure our guest is going to have some great ideas for us today because she's doing a lot of wonderful work with traumatized children. So why don't you introduce her, Heidi?
Okay, and she's also lost both of her parents.
Right.
So. Our guest today is Lisa Peacock, and our topic is Finding Hope in the Holidays After the Loss of Both Parents. Lisa Peacock was touched by trauma at a young age. In 1987, at age 9, Lisa suffered from the effects of a plane crash that took her father's life. Then at 19, Lisa suffered the traumatic loss of her mother in a car accident. She dealt with depression, anxiety, guilt, and anger. While coping with her situation, she felt a calling to help others that were suffering from trauma. In 2002, the Peacock Foundation was founded. Welcome to the show, Lisa.
Hi.
Hi, Lisa. It's great to have you on the show today. You've got such a fabulous name, don't you?
Well,
you know, I love it.
Thanks. It was definitely helpful when I decided to work with animals.
Mm-hmm. It's just a wonderful name. Well, Lisa, we were talking about the holidays. Before we get into your foundation, we're going to go to break in a minute, but before we do, could you talk a little bit about the holidays for you after you lost your mom and dad, and do you have any suggestions for our folks out there who are getting through Christmas and New Year's?
Yeah, I definitely agree with what you were saying. I was trying to think about if I remember things from those first few years after both of the different accidents. And I have to say the things that really helped for me personally was taking an old tradition that I remember my parents doing or being involved with and somehow making it a tribute to them. So my mom always loved making cookies.
Mm-hmm.
For neighbors and friends. And so what I did was I would make cookies, but I'd take them to the homeless. And so kind of as a tribute to what she did for me to be able to remember her and enjoy that tradition, but change it just a little so that it became something new for me.
Mm-hmm. I love that. That's great.
And so I think that has been really helpful. It's just trying to keep a little bit of the old tradition so you feel like you're still attached.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, understanding that, you know, it's not going to be the same and trying to force it to be that way is just going to make it almost worse.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, making it as a tribute
to
the people that you've loved, to your parents or whoever's died in your life.
Exactly, and then you kind of feel like you're honoring them.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do.
Yeah, I love the idea of just taking a little different spin on it.
Yeah.
Do you have anything special you do during the holidays now to remember your parents?
You know, I do. Normally, on one night that doesn't have any event or anything going on, either before or after Christmas, because it depends on all the activities that everyone has going on, I usually like to take a night and I go and look at lights with my dog. And I just go with me and the dog, and I usually find a really beautiful place to go and sit and just kind of remember them and think about them and let myself have that night that I feel like I spend with them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a nice idea of a way to be contemplative and think about the holidays.
And enjoy the beauty of it and try and still incorporate them into my life. But not force it.
Right. That's great. Well, we're coming up on break now, and I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host, Dr. Heidi Horsley. We're talking to Lisa Peacock about finding hope in the holidays after the loss of both parents. Please stay tuned to hear more and visit our blog, thegriefblog.com.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Hello, Doctors Gloria and Heidi are pleased to announce that their new book, Teen Grief Relief, Parenting with Understanding, Support, and Guidance, published by Rainbow Books, is now available. Grief Relief can be ordered through thegriefblog.com as well as Amazon. Book orders can be made through the Book Clearinghouse at 800-431-1579. This book is a must for any family suffering a loss. Get your copy right now at thegriefreliefblog.com or amazon.com.
This is Dr. Gloria Horsley. Just a reminder to our listeners that you can own 10 of the very best Healing the Grieving Heart shows, available on CD. Our listeners tell us that they have used these shows to examine the many viewpoints of grief and to stimulate conversation on this difficult subject. Call toll-free 877-969-0010, that's 877-969-0010, to order a set or visit the CompassionateFriends.org website and click on PCF Originals for the opportunity to purchase this specially priced set at only $60 for 10 CDs plus shipping and handling. Heidi and I have donated all the proceeds to the Compassionate Friends to help bereaved families following the death of a child.
If you've experienced the devastating loss of a child, you know how difficult the holidays can be. Every year, the Compassionate Friends Worldwide Candlelighting gives bereaved families one very special day to honor the memories of all precious children gone too soon. Held at 7 p.m. local time for 1 hour around the globe, the second Sunday in December, the Worldwide Candlelighting creates a virtual wave of light as it unites hearts across the oceans and continents. In the United States, hundreds of formal services are planned, reaching every state plus Washington, D.C., and Puerto Rico. Hundreds more will be held in countries around the world. To learn more about the Worldwide Candlelighting this year, December 9th, and how you can participate, visit CompassionateFriends.org or call 877-969-0010. It takes only you and one candle to join hearts with the world.
This is Dr. Gloria Horsley, host of Healing the Grieving Heart. When you're not listening to our show every Thursday at 9 Pacific, noon Eastern, visit our new blog at thegriefblog.com. It's loaded with articles, personal stories, poems, and more. Our blog is dedicated to helping you and your family deal with loss. While you're there, submit your loved one's favorite recipes, your poems and stories, and listen to our archives of our past shows. TheGriefBlog.com is where you'll find us. And, of course, listen to our show every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, here on Voice America.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
And now we rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi on Healing the Grieving Heart.
To Healing the Grieving Heart. I'm Dr. Heidi with my mom, Dr. Gloria, and we're here today talking with Lisa Peacock about finding hope during the holidays after the loss of both parents. Lisa was touched by trauma at a young age. Her father died in a plane crash when she was 9. Then at 19, her mother died in a car accident.
Lisa dealt with depression, anxiety, guilt, and anger. While coping with her situation, she felt a calling to help others that were suffering from trauma. In 2002, the Peacock Foundation was founded. Welcome back to the show, Lisa and Gloria.
Thank you, Heidi.
Great, thanks.
Well, Lisa, welcome back. And we talked a little bit about the holidays and a little bit about what you did during the holidays. But I'm sure our audience wants to hear a little bit about your mother dying and your dad dying, first in a plane crash. What a thing. Did you have brothers or sisters?
Yeah, I have one older sister. She's 3 years older than myself. And so I was 9 and she was 12. And the holidays actually were big because the plane crash happened in August.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was right before all the holidays started.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there was a lot of stress and pressure on my mom.
Did they find your dad, or did they know where he was? Or
They did end up finding his body.
Was it a large plane or small?
It was large. It was a Northwest. I think it was a 737.
Wow.
154 people were killed.
Oh my gosh.
The whole everyone on the plane except for one little 2-year-old girl.
Wow.
They perished. And
how did they die? Did they find out the cause of the crash?
It was actually electrical malfunction with the flaps.
Oh.
On the plane. So literally it didn't even make it through takeoff. It got just off the ground. And it clipped a building and a light post and then just crashed on the freeway.
Wow. And where was that? In California?
In Michigan.
In Michigan.
It was in Detroit.
Wow. That's awful.
And so we didn't know until later on that evening because we were visiting family in Michigan. And so we had dropped my dad off at the airport, you know, the hour and a half before his flight, and then we didn't find out until we turned on the TV when we got back to my aunt's house later on that evening.
And you found out on TV?
Yes.
Oh, shocking.
The news came on, and I remember playing and looking up, and my mom was just no reaction on her face, staring at the TV, and it was a look I hadn't seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And then shortly after, she watched for a minute or two, she told me to go get my sister because she thought that our dad's plane had crashed.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
And then it was just kind of a whirlwind. At 9, I remember not really understanding what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
That I understand the words, you know, that your dad is dead, but I didn't understand the concept.
Mm-hmm.
The permanence of it?
Yeah, so I realized later, you know, that I had created fantasies and all sorts of things in my head over the next year, visualizing him coming home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that it couldn't be like that, and so I would make up stories that no one else ever knew about, and that's how I coped with it. I didn't want to tell my mom because she was so distraught and upset. Mm-hmm. Over the loss of her husband, and so I just kind of kept it to myself.
Hmm. And it will be interesting. And then, you know, we could just spend the whole show just on that. but then you lost your mom at 19 in
yes.
an automobile accident. Tell us about that.
Yes, I was just finishing up my freshman year at Arizona State University, and I was studying theater. And so I was doing a rehearsal for a show, and when I came back to my dorm room, I got a call from a hospital.
Okay.
And they immediately handed the phone over to a family member who said, you know, your mom has been in an accident. And there's something about when you're told that you just know.
Mm-hmm.
And she actually did live for about 22 hours, went through a lot of surgeries, and then we went ahead and let her go.
Wow. So you were able to see her at the hospital, unlike
yes.
your dad.
Yes. Unlike dad, he just left and never came back.
And so you never saw his remains?
No. My uncle's actually, one of the things my mom had to carry with her was they took her the day after the crash to the tent with all the body parts and the bodies
mm-hmm.
and made her walk through and try and identify him.
Oh, my goodness.
Luckily, she didn't find him. My uncle went back, and because of dental and because of they found his wallet, they were able to identify his remains.
Wow. So when your mom died, Lisa, I mean, this is just unbelievable that both of your parents died in car and plane accidents. I mean, you must have been thinking, this can't be happening. I can't lose both parents. I mean, it's not fair. It's not right.
Yeah, you know, it really took a lot out of me. It kind of, you know, I didn't really understand what was going on. And from a belief perspective, I decided that, you know, this had to be a punishment or, you know, what else could be happening.
And you were thinking of that when your mother died?
Yeah. Uh-huh. When mom died, I was like, this doesn't happen. This isn't supposed to happen. Your parents aren't supposed to die,
right,
you know, at all, oh, let alone 10 years apart in separate accidents, you know, that had nothing to do with each other. And,
So you talked a little bit about that you were depressed and anxious and you felt guilt. How did you deal with all that?
A lot of rage.
Uh-huh. Tell us about your rage, because mm-hmm. I think it sounds fairly positive to me that you were in touch with it.
Oh, I had a lot of rage, and I didn't show it to a lot of people because I was afraid of how they would react to me. Mm-hmm. And so my rage I would let out on my own. I remember driving, and I would just be screaming at the top of my lungs while I was driving, just sobbing and screaming, which probably wasn't the safest choice for anyone who's listening. But I remember just screaming and yelling.
And screaming, like, how could this have happened? Why is
yeah.
it happening to me kind of thing?
Just, you know, why is this happening to me?
Right.
And what's going on? And I don't deserve this. And
yeah.
how could you leave me? And, you know, what did I do?
Mm-hmm.
Just all of those.
You know, I'm just, what's coming up for me, Lisa, is you were such a good girl after your father died.
I really did try to be.
So then when your mother died, it was really.
Yeah, I just didn't understand what I had done mm-hmm. to deserve this.
Right, and especially because most of your friends probably have both of their parents.
Yeah. Yeah, most everyone I knew. The nice thing was I did have a very good friend in high school who, a year before my mother died, her mother died.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did have one friend that had been through a loss
mm-hmm.
that I could talk to and reach out to, because there weren't a lot of people my age or in my life that had been through any sort of loss.
And I think you're making a really good point for our listeners. Try to find somebody that's mm-hmm. been there to reach out to, like you did, Lisa.
Yeah, you definitely need someone who you can at least contemplate has some idea of what you're going through. You know, no one's experience is going to be the same, but to know someone who's gone through at least a loss experience and be able to talk to them about what you're going through, they're going to be able to relate a little better at least.
So that gets us, I think, to your foundation, which you set up. I mean, talk to us about the Peacock Foundation, because I think that is part of what you're doing, isn't it? Reaching out to traumatized
kids. Well, and how did you get from rage to the point where you were able to start a foundation? I mean, what did that mm-hmm. progression look like?
I went from rage to just being broken, to just feeling like I didn't ever want to be that vulnerable again, and that I was so exposed, and I just wanted to find a way to sew up the damage and make sure it never happened again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you go through that much pain, you too must know that you just want it to go away.
Mm-hmm.
You just have this innate...
Plus, you're not sure you can live through it.
Yeah, that if it could just go away for a couple days... And so when my mom died, she had actually set it up for me and my older sister and her and my younger half-sister because she had gotten remarried and had another child.
Mm-hmm.
When she died, she was in the middle of a divorce, and so she was looking at a new life as well. And so the four of us girls were going to go to the zoo and spend the night. And after she died, me and my sisters decided we'd still go.
Mm.
And that's when I kind of got in touch with how therapeutic animals can be.
Mm-hmm.
Just being in this place where I felt like my mom had wanted us to go and how beautiful it was and quiet and having all of the animals present that just didn't expect anything of you. And if you were sad, that was okay. And if you were mad, that was okay. So I applied for a job that night.
Lisa, I'm just, you know, we got a dog after Scott died. In fact, we got two. A year later, we got another one, and they were very healing. But I have never thought about going to the zoo as a healing. I love it.
I know, I love that.
It's absolutely amazing to think about that.
And to spend the night at the zoo. I didn't even know you could do that, actually.
Yeah, most zoos actually have an overnight program.
Wow.
Yeah. And there's just something about being in that natural environment that makes you feel somewhat closer to people who have passed on, at least for me and some other people I've talked to, that, you know, being out in nature tends to make you feel connected with them.
Mm-hmm. Now, where was the zoo? It must be a remarkable zoo, too.
It is in Phoenix. It's in Tempe, and it's around some small buttes, so there's some rocks around you, and you feel kind of out of the city, definitely.
So then you applied for a job.
Applied for a job.
You're how old now? 19,
I was 20? Still 19.
19.
Mm-hmm. And I applied for the job, and I got the job, and I worked there for the next 3 years.
And what did you do at the zoo?
I did education, so I got to work with children and animals.
Very good.
And that's where I got to see just how trusting children are to someone who is showing them an animal. Because I would be sitting there showing a snake or an opossum or a hedgehog, and I'd be sitting with a group of, you know, six or seven young kids, and all of a sudden one of them would talk about, you know, my brother loved animals, and, you know, I really miss him and wish he was here with us tonight. And you just kind of look at them and go, wow, you know, is he okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they would tell you, you know, these stories that I had just met this child, and they're telling me about these traumatic experiences they've had in their life. And just stroking the animal and watching it as they talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you can feel that there's no anxiety and there's no stress or pressure. They're just letting something out.
That's incredible. Well, it's time for us to come up on break now. And
right.
When we come back from break, we're going to talk more with Lisa Peacock about finding hope in the holidays after the loss of both parents. You can't call in today because this is a pre-record, but you can reach us through our blog, thegriefblog.com. Please stay tuned for more.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Dr. Heidi Horsley, co-host of Healing the Grieving Heart. When you've lost someone close to you, the holidays sometimes aren't as happy as they used to be. That's one of the reasons we created the Grief Blog. Visit www.thegriefblog.com and take advantage of the articles, stories, radio show archives, and comments all about dealing with loss. We'd love it if you'd share some of your holiday stories, poems, recipes, and traditions with our growing community of people just like you and just like me who've lost someone close to them. It's as easy as sending an email and a great way to remember and honor your loved one. Please tune in Thursdays, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern, to Healing the Grieving Heart on Voice America, and have a happy and safe holiday season.
Save the date. The Compassionate Friends 31st National Conference will be held July 18th through 20th, 2008, in the home of country music, Nashville, Tennessee. If you've experienced the devastating death of a child in your family, you will not want to miss the weekend of friendship, understanding, and hope, when more than 1,200 people just like you will join together. Said one person in describing last summer's 2007 National Conference, there was so much love and compassion, you could feel it in the air. To learn more about the 2008 National Conference, the pre-conference professional outreach day, and the popular 2-mile walk to remember, visit CompassionateFriends.org or call 877-969-0010. Detailed information on the conference will be posted to the national website as it becomes available.
This is Dr. Gloria Horsley. Just a reminder to our listeners that you can own 10 of the very best Healing the Grieving Heart shows, available on CD. Our listeners tell us that they have used these shows to examine the many viewpoints of grief and to stimulate conversation on this difficult subject. Call toll-free 877-969-0010, that's 877-969-0010, to order a set or visit the CompassionateFriends.org website. website and click on TCF Originals for the opportunity to purchase this specially priced set at only $60 for 10 CDs plus shipping and handling. Heidi and I have donated all the proceeds to the Compassionate Friends to help bereaved families following the death of a child.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
And now we rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi on Healing the Grieving Heart.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. I'm Dr. Heidi with my mom, Dr. Gloria, and we're here today talking with Lisa Peacock about finding hope during the holidays after the loss of both parents. Lisa was touched by trauma at a young age. Her father died in a plane crash when she was 9, then at 19 her mother died in a car accident. While coping with her situation, Lisa felt a calling to help others that were suffering from trauma. In 2002, the Peacock Foundation was founded. Welcome back to the show, Lisa and Gloria.
Thank you. Thanks, Heidi. Well, Lisa, welcome back. And we want to tell all of our guests and friends in the show that we wish you a happy new year and a holiday. And if not happiness, survival through it. We know it's a tough time for everybody. And we're talking to Lisa Peacock about her parents dying and how she got involved with animals and working at the zoo. It's kind of an amazing story. But what I want to say to you all out there is, gee, going to the zoo, if you're an animal lover, might be a wonderful thing to do now between Christmas and Hanukkah and New Year's. You might want to make a visit there.
Yep.
And think of us and think of your loved one while you're there. It's a wonderful idea. I also like the idea, Lisa. Frankly, I'm sometimes hesitant. We did get a dog after Scott was killed. We didn't have a dog. And we got a dog, I don't know, maybe 6 months later. But, you know, I'm an animal lover. I can't recommend it to everybody because some people really don't enjoy taking care of pets. They like them. They like to look at them. But it's a lot of responsibility to have a pet around.
And you might want to start out with something small. If you really feel moved to have a pet, you might want to start out with like a teddy bear hamster and move up from there to a dog.
Yeah. Well, I was even thinking that this is a wonderful opportunity for those. It's such a great idea to take, if you're not an animal lover, to take care of them at home. Take your kids to the zoo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And let them, particularly if you've got younger kids, find a petting zoo during the holidays. Where the kids can hold animals.
Yeah, I know that even here in Manhattan, there's a great petting zoo in Central Park that I love to go to. So, I mean, usually you can find a petting zoo fairly close to wherever you are, hopefully.
Right. So I love that idea. So, Lisa, now we've got you working at the zoo.
Yeah.
And taking care of animals.
Just a fabulous experience. And for me, additionally, I found out when I started working there that my family had made a huge contribution when my dad died. And so his name was actually written in the brick entrance.
Oh, my goodness.
And
did you know that before you started working there?
I did not. I was walking in one day, and I looked down, and I was like, what?
That's very strange.
And so it just kind of felt like my mom had sent us there, and my dad was there, and
right.
that it was just supposed to be. But, you know, I really do think that there's just something about watching animals and being near them that takes your mind off things.
Mm-hmm.
And
when you talk about it, I can just feel the heat of those little animals, and you can feel their hearts.
Yes.
And they also, will lick you and nuzzle and
give you unconditional love when you need it.
Yep.
Yeah. And a lot of zoos and zoological societies and aquariums and all that, they have something special for the holidays. So I really would encourage.
What kind of thing do you have for the holidays there? Do you remember any experiences?
At the two zoos that I've worked at, we did light shows. They would put lights up all over the zoo, and they would bring in reindeer.
Wow.
They would bring in reindeer, and they would have special petting zoos and activities for kids so that it was really, you know, a holiday experience, and they'd have hot cocoa and all kinds of stuff in the evenings. When you normally don't get to go to the zoo. So I would encourage people to just look for it and see if it's something that might fit for them.
So it sounds like you started healing through your experience with animals. Is that when you started your healing and kind of let go of some of your rage?
Exactly. I definitely did. Just holding and being around those animals in a very safe environment and being able to love on them and receive some love back just kind of gave me a new hope. I want to say that they were able to kind of bring something back to me that I felt was lost through the deaths of my parents, that, you know, there were things to look forward to, and that even though my parents weren't there, that they were still there with me in certain ways. And mm-hmm. so
that continuing bond.
And so I think that being able to love something
and give to it. You certainly have to care.
And take care of it and give to it and nurture it. And
Could you tell us, I don't want to run out of time, tell us a little bit about your foundation
Definitely.
And how you got started?
Well, I moved from Phoenix, Arizona to Los Angeles when I graduated from Arizona State in 2000. I needed a change.
And you graduated in the arts, which is going to be important because that's going to be part of your the things that you do, which I want to get to.
I graduated with a degree in theater education, so I was very somewhat bonded to working with children. And trying to do something with them.
And so how did you set up the foundation?
I moved out here, and I just had this stirring kind of inside of me that I needed to help people who had been through something like what I had been through, you know, that there was hope out there and that they weren't alone, and that if they didn't want to be around people, well, then I was going to take animals. Mm-hmm. To be around them and to help them express the rage and the anxiety and the emotion that comes with trauma. And so I met people out in Los Angeles, and I talked to them about my ideas, and they were really touched by my story and then also really excited about the possibility of what could happen. So we started up in 2002, getting our nonprofit status from the IRS. Mm-hmm. And once we got that, I started contacting facilities, after school centers in troubled neighborhoods, different foster care group homes and residential homes, and really trying to reach out to the kids. Now, at the same time that I started all of that, I went back to school. Mm-hmm. To get my master's in marriage and family therapy, because I had the experience side of it and could understand the emotional side of it, but I wanted to make sure that any of the kids that I worked with, that I really was taking care of them and trying to help them versus possibly doing things that would hurt them mm-hmm. emotionally. And I think that that's something that we really have to take consideration of, is that even though we have the experience, it's another thing to have the education, you know, to be able to reach out to people in that very vulnerable state.
Well, tell us a little bit about your foundation programs. I'm interested in, you've got, what, four basic methods that you use?
Yes. The one that we always start out with is the animal assisted therapy method, which is we have different species, reptiles, amphibians, small mammals, and we create programs based around adaptations these animals have and the animal's story in life, so that the kids can connect to the animals and hear their story and then learn social and life skills through the animal story and through processing the animal.
That's great. And then you've got the art method, right?
Yes.
And tell us a little bit about that.
And so what we do is we want them kids to be able to express themselves, and we understand that they can't do it verbally a lot of times, so we want to give them a way to. So if it's not with animals, then we try art.
I notice you've got clay. And
yes, and if it's not with art, we try play. And if it's not with play, we can try drama.
No, I meant play with art. You do drama, your drama method too then, right?
Yes, we try. We will pretty much try any creative method to help these kids get out.
And then creative writing. I wanted to cover all these points because what struck me about them is how practical they are and how I believe that our folks at home could integrate some of those. I mean, you could take you could go to the zoo, you could do some drawing during the holidays now, some drawing, even yourself or with your family, clay. You could put on a little drama, a little play, and you could do some creative writing.
Yeah, there's so many ways that, you know, you can help children especially get out the emotions and the concepts that are in their head through all these different fun activities.
You know, I'm thinking you could take them to the zoo and you could have them either get them some clay and have them do, you know, maybe structure a little animal, or you could have them do a little drama about going to the zoo or write about the animals they saw. You know, you could pick any of those things.
Oh, completely. And it's amazing what the kids come up with and what we come up with. Sometimes they'll just take an animal and they'll write a whole creative story about this animal that has nothing to do with the animal, but what they're going through.
I was going to say, we said they can talk about when animals die and what's that like for them and how they feel, and they can keep it in the metaphor and talk about their experience, but talk about it through the animal story.
Exactly. What would it be like for the animal to go through this?
You know, the other thing I'm thinking about, if you really had a nice zoo person, you could kind of let them know what was going on, and they might be able to talk to their child, too.
Definitely. I know that the zoos I've worked with and have met, their education department and their volunteer department are very open to giving private tours.
Mm-hmm.
And if you call up the education department and say, hey, you know, I have a small child, or I went through, you know, a death recently, do you think, you know, someone could walk me around and just talk to me about the animals and your programs?
Oh, what a great idea for the holidays, don't you think, Heidi?
It's a wonderful idea. You could even give your kids a little wrapped gift, and inside is a written gift certificate saying we're going to the zoo for a private tour.
Yeah. And, you know, I know just the people I worked with, they loved doing that kind of stuff.
That's great. I bet they would. It'd be very satisfying for them during the holidays, too, to give back to people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's time for us to go to break now, and I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host, Dr. Heidi Horsley, and we're talking to Lisa Peacock about finding hope in the holidays after the loss of both parents. Please stay tuned for more.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Hello, Doctors Gloria and Heidi are pleased to announce that their new book, Teen Grief Relief, Parenting with Understanding, Support, and Guidance, published by Rainbow Books, is now available. Grief Relief can be ordered through thegriefblog.com as well as Amazon. Book orders can be made through the Book Clearinghouse at 800-431-1579. This book is a must for any family suffering a loss. Get your copy right now at thegriefreliefblog.com or amazon.com.
If you've experienced the devastating loss of a child, you know how difficult the holidays can be. Every year, the Compassionate Friends Worldwide Candlelighting gives bereaved families one very special day to honor the memories of all precious children gone too soon. Held at 7 p.m. local time for 1 hour around the globe, the second Sunday in December, the Worldwide Candlelighting creates a virtual wave of light as it unites hearts across the oceans and continents. In the United States, hundreds of formal services are planned, reaching every state plus Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico. Hundreds more will be held in countries around the world. To learn more about the Worldwide Candlelighting this year, December 9th, and how you can participate, visit CompassionateFriends.org or call 877-969-0010. It takes only you and one candle to join hearts with the world.
This is Dr. Gloria Horsley, host of Healing the Grieving Heart. When you're not listening to our show every Thursday at 9 Pacific, noon Eastern, visit our new blog at thegriefblog.com. It's loaded with articles, personal stories, poems, and more. Our blog is dedicated to helping you and your family deal with loss. While you're there, submit your loved one's favorite recipes, your poems, and stories, and listen to our archives of our past shows. TheGriefBlog.com is where you'll find us. And, of course, listen to our show every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, here on Voice America.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Now we rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi for our final segment of Healing the Grieving Heart, a show of hope and renewal for those who have suffered the loss of a loved one.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. I'm Dr. Heidi with my mom, Dr. Gloria, and we're here today talking with Lisa Peacock about finding hope during the holidays after the loss of both parents. Lisa was touched by trauma at a young age. Her father died in a plane crash when she was just 9. Then at 19, her mother died in a car accident. While coping with her situation, Lisa felt a calling to help others that were suffering from trauma. In 2002, the Peacock Foundation was founded. Welcome back to the show, Lisa and Gloria.
Thanks,
Heidi. Well, Lisa, this is our last break, and I am just so inspired by the show during the holidays. The whole idea of all the trauma that you've been through and the things that you've been able to do after losing both of your parents and such key times of your life at age 9 and then at 19 again, and the fact that you've been able to move on to do other things is just truly inspirational to us all, particularly for the new year and people getting ideas of hope and what they can be doing. Could you tell people how to get a hold of your foundation?
Definitely. There's a few different ways you can. You can email me directly at Lisa, L-A-S-A, at peacockfoundation.org. Our website is peacockfoundation.org. And then also you can contact me in the office if you're in California or abroad at 818-763-1072.
That's great, and hopefully we will get our link. If we don't, look at our blog, Lisa, and make sure we get your link.
And your website for the foundation is the peacockfoundation.org, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's a lovely website. And the other thing Heidi and I were talking about that's so great about the foundation is that you work with existing programs, right?
Yes, we do. One of the things we wanted to do was to offer additional help to programs that were struggling to give kids dealing with trauma what they needed. And so that's what we decided to do was instead of, you know, go out on our own, was to really try and help these existing programs.
That's a great idea. Now, what if I'm in Elyria, Ohio? Can I get in touch with you? Would you give my program some help?
I work with people all over the nation right now, and I've actually had some people intern with me through other countries who are interested in doing programs similar to ours, and I'm always open to finding ways to working with you wherever you are.
And you're a nonprofit, and so people can donate to the foundation?
Yep. You can donate online too. You know, if you have a place, you know, that's really in your heart for animals, you can help the animals that we care for. If you're more attracted to the kids in the programs we do, you can sponsor children.
That's great. And I noticed you had a little scale of what it would take to sponsor a child.
Yeah.
I thought that was really nice. One child, 4-week session, $10 a month. And one child, 12-week session, $30 a month. Really,
that's amazing. That's not a lot.
No, it's certainly not. And then sponsoring one animal for a full year is $200 a month.
Yeah.
Or is that total $200 to sponsor?
Total $200.
Oh, my gosh, to sponsor for a whole year.
I know.
That's great. And then you've got business sponsorship for $2,500 a year and business sponsorship gold for $5,000. So I hope people will go on if they are so inclined to give you a donation from that site because I think it's wonderful work.
Right, and I think, Mom, to add to that, I think giving to an organization that's helping others will help you heal also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of our points with the work that we do is we've kind of identified how you can encourage yourself to build hope. And that's actually the last step that we have is that if you're able to help someone else cope with their trauma, then that shows that you have hope within you that things are going to be okay.
Hope is such an important thing, isn't it?
Yeah, that you have enough to give to somebody else shows that you're at least hopeful that helping this person is worth it.
That's great. Now, have you got any special plans for the Peacock Foundation for the new year?
Definitely, we always love trying to expand our services, and so for the new year, we try and at least bring in one more facility that we're going to be working with each year, because we want to just keep growing and reaching more people and being able to help more animals and more kids and more families.
That's great.
And so our goal each year is to work with at least one more facility.
Oh, that's great to have that kind of a goal. It's kind of like our goal for the show for the year, right, Heidi, for the new year?
Absolutely.
To see if we can increase our listenership.
Reach more listeners and reach more people out there that need us.
Right. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, have people come onto the grief blog and continue to have things grow and the word of mouth getting around about hope and help and possibilities for the future during this new year.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Now, what about volunteer partnership options? Is that what we were talking about, where people can give money, or do they actually volunteer with you in the Phoenix area?
We actually also do have volunteer programs here in Los Angeles Los Angeles, Orange County, and then in through Phoenix. I do work with volunteers who come out and help with the programs and work with the kids as well as the animals. And so we definitely are always open because I know how good it feels to be able to offer yourself to somebody else in the midst of your trauma. And so we want to make sure that, we're also allowing people to heal through giving.
You know, I was thinking, I bet you any zoo in the United States would love a volunteer.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah, the zoos are always, always looking for more volunteers to, come in, and they're half of what makes the zoo fun, is the people that actually help out just because they enjoy it there.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you have any special New Year's plans yourself or for the foundation on New Year's? Are you going to have any kind of a special celebration? Or?
Well, the animals all get a special little treat. They all get a special meal on New Year's to work out the new holiday season and start the year off really good. And so we do kind of a special little day for the animals on New Year's Day.
Now, what's your most unusual animal?
Probably we have an animal called a skink. And it's a lizard from Australia.
Uh-huh.
That's probably our most unusual, that the most people haven't seen. Chinchillas are pretty popular now, and we have, rats and guinea pigs and dogs and snakes. And so probably that skink would be.
Now, what will they be eating for their special meal?
The
skinks.
The skinks for their special meal, they actually are meat eaters.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, so they'll get some steak,
which
is a very big treat for them because most of the time they eat dog food.
Now, where do you keep these animals?
We built an animal care center, and so they're all housed within this one facility that we built especially for the animals. And we had organizations that were wonderful in donating furniture and aquariums and lighting and all sorts of things for it.
Well, Lisa, it's time for us to close the show, and I just want to say you are such an inspiration.
You are.
You really are to what one person can do.
Well, thank you. I think everybody has it in them to make it through, and you just have to find which way works best for you.
And, I think, Lisa, one of the things Heidi and I talk about sometimes is that when we've been through the rough times, we have kind of the courage to try something new.
Yeah, I definitely would agree.
Yeah. Well, do you have something you'd like to say to our audience before we close?
I would just say hang in there. These are the hardest times, and just remember, each day is going to get a little bit easier. Mm-hmm. And there are people out there waiting to help you, so keep your eyes open.
Oh, thank you, Lisa. That's a wonderful thought to end on. And we want to wish our audience a happy new year and a happy and a safe new year.
Yes.
It's time to close our show for now. And again, I want to thank our guest for being on the show, Lisa Peacock. Please stay tuned again next week when our guest will be Tom Zuba, and he will be talking about creating sacred space after multiple losses. This show is archived on our blog, thegriefblog.com, as well as the Compassionate Friends website. Please stay tuned again next Thursday at 9 Pacific Standard, 12 Eastern, for more of Healing the Grieving Heart, a show of hope, renewal, and support. Remember, others have been there before you and made it. You can too. You need not walk alone. Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host,
Dr. Heidi Horsley. Lisa, your parents are gone but not forgotten. They live on in your heart and memories and in all the wonderful work you do with the Peacock Foundation. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi Horsley on Healing the Grieving Heart, heard live every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on health.voiceamerica.com and worldtalkradio.com. Healing the Grieving Heart is archived on thegriefblog.com.